Mom's Favorite Fantasy Football Podcast with your mom's favorite host, Bobby Sylvester. On today's show, we're going to be drafting together for a chance to win $2 million on Underdog Fantasy. And our guest is another big winner on Underdog, Jimmy Clifton. You can follow him on Twitter at JimmyClifton3. And my new handle for the new podcast is at your mom's FF Pod. If you haven't already, please subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Let's talk some football. Hey, it's Bobby Sylvester. Welcome on into your mom's favorite fantasy football podcast. Before we dive on into Underdog's Best Ball Mania draft, play for $5 and get $50 bonus funds using the link in the show notes and pinned to my X account at your mom's FF Pod and using promo code TEAMJORTS. We have three pieces of fantasy football news to hit on, and I'm joined by internationally ranked mustache haver and all-around hunk, Jimmy Clifton. Jimmy, thanks for coming to the show.
Oh, sure thing, Bobby. I'm excited to show off the stash. If you haven't seen it yet, you can find it on all social media platforms.
It looks like you could be a tight end in the NFL with that mustache. How long does it take you to grow that bad boy out?
If you can tell I'm starting to have a stash within, you know, a week, but this baby's like 3 months old, had to trim it. Dang. A few times. Yeah.
I love it. What I don't love is that you live up in Chicago, so you're a Chicago sports fan, but, you know, this is not a judging podcast. I just wanted to mention that for all the listeners. One thing I am judging, though, is Devon Achane's fantasy status. They're now saying he's expected to be out 3 games to ease him back in, take it easy with a calf. Are you buying that 3-game narrative, or are you thinking this is more of a 5, 7, 10-game kind of thing?
I do kind of wonder if the reality of just sports injuries more recently outside of football is playing into this. We saw calf injuries with Tyrese Halliburton, with Damian Lillard, and we had Achilles injuries. And so I read before that they mentioned the 3 games that he would be good to go for week 1. And so I kind of actually think they're playing it safe. I think that I am buying that it really is just going to be those 3 weeks.
So he was going right around the turn. And by the turn, for those of you who are listening that are maybe a little more casual in the fantasy space, what I mean is at the end of the first, early second round. So he was going pick 11, 12. His ADP has already fallen to pick 15. Are you comfortable taking him in the mid second round, or are you not touching him until the third?
I'd probably prefer to do 2-3 turn. I think when you're getting to the 2-3 turn, the opportunity cost there is like a T. Higgins, Tyreek Hill, who has his injury issues already. You've got your second tight end, Trey McBride. And so I think I'd prefer to wait till the 2-3 turn because the opportunity cost just feels a lot less significant.
Right. Yeah, there's some question marks there, right? I'm still taking him over Breece Hall. I'm still taking him over Kyren Williams. But there's no way that I'm taking him over Bucky Irving, taking him over Josh Jacobs, taking him over Chase Brown, Jonathan Taylor. So that's where he lands with me, too. What about this? Would you rather grab one of the top-end quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, who had a little bit of an injury scare with his hand, wrist? They were just taking it easy. There's nothing wrong there. Would you rather take one of those high-end quarterbacks or Devon Achane?
That's a great question. I think if I had to take one team, one draft, I'm doing Achane there. Okay. I like to mix it up.
He's got that league-winning upside. I mean, let's just say he's out 3 weeks. He comes back, they ease him back in week 4, week 5, week 6, and then he gets rolling and you've got yourself one of the top, 5 running backs in football. You could win your league with that. If you can draft the rest of your team with depth and quality players, I don't mind taking the chance on the upside there. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think if we're talking best ball specifically, it's like weeks 1 through 3 are not like 3/17ths of the season. They are 3/14ths of 25% of the tournament. And so when you think about for the casual people, that was a lot of math. What I mean there is best ball tournaments really break down into 4 sections of the season. You have your first 14 weeks where you're playing against 12 other people in most tournaments. You then have your week 15 game where you're playing a whole new pod, week 16 game where you're playing a whole new pod, week 17 game where you're playing a whole new pod. I think where casual and new players go wrong is they see every week as equal, where in reality, like week 17 is infinitely more important than week 1, week 2, week 3. And so I often like to think of weeks 1 through 14 as 25% of the tournament. Like that's the 25% I have to win. And then I have to win playoff weeks. And so if he's rolling by week, even 10, like we are in the money zone and have no concerns. We'll forget that he missed weeks 1 through 3.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of news coming out about Emeka Egbuka being named the starter for Tampa Bay. I mean, Chris Godwin's not even jogging yet. So, Chris Godwin, how late are you waiting to take him? And now we're seeing Egbuka climb up the draft charts. And I know that you're a big guy on the rookies. How high are you taking him at this point?
I actually think Egbuka has hit the point where I'm easing up a little bit. So I had about 20% Egbuka going into when he was at the 6-7 turn. I've eased up a little bit as he goes to the early 6, late 5th. But Godwin, I think pick 100. If I'm trying to pick between Godwin and Michael Pittman, I'm probably leaning Godwin there. Depends on what I've done in the build, or if I'm thinking Godwin or Tyrone Tracy. Again, depends on the build, but I'm leaning Godwin there usually, just because, again, he's probably going to miss what do you think he's going to miss? How many weeks do you think he's missing?
Godwin, man, at this point with him not running, I'd say at least 4. And it's crazy because I got a lot of shares of Godwin thinking, oh, he's going to be fine. He'll be back. But they're taking it real easy. And I think a large part of that is Egbuka is so dang talented. He can come right in and collect those targets. But again, this is the reverse of Achane, right? Is Egbuka going to go into those fantasy playoffs, those really important weeks in underdog best ball, and be a game changer? I don't really know. Unless Evans or Godwin's injured at that point, I don't necessarily think so. So I agree. His ADP is too high for me. I'm out. And I know there's a lot of people excited about it, but you can also get a Ricky Pearsall in that range. You can get, as you mentioned, a Michael Pittman in that range, who's not going to win you a league, but he's definitely going to be solid and he's going to be above value for where you draft him.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, the bill on rookies, why rookies are so important, I think, in best ball, is very on they come on late in the season. Again, where all those money weeks are. I actually think Egbuka is one of those pro-ready guys who's probably already going to be fine. And then we're getting into a cost situation where he might actually be the reverse of your typical rookie. Like, especially on winning teams aren't giving rookies more run near the end of the season. They're trying to win games. And I think the Bucks are set up to actually get a decent seed this year and make a little bit more run than they did last year. And so when I say I like rookies, I often like rookies on bad teams. Because it's are you going to play this rookie or are you going to continue to play the dust ball that got you to 3-13, you know?
Right. And so, yeah, Adam Thielen's not going to be racking up 15 targets in week 15 for the Panthers.
No. Right. Yeah. We're going to probably at that point see if Jimmy Horn actually does have some run, or he's not even someone I'm drafting, but you get the idea.
Exactly. All those random guys, someone who is not random whatsoever, the number 2 ADP player on the board. Bijan Robinson, I think this is a big deal, Jimmy. I'm not sure if you saw this news, but Pat Thorman, who's historically ranked one of the top 3 most accurate fantasy rankers, every year he's up near the top of the leaderboard. And that's out of 200-plus folks. So this guy knows what he's talking about. Yeah. He points out that Falcons tackle Storm Norton just had ankle surgery. And now, yesterday at practice, they lost Caleb McGarry, another tackle. Does this push Robinson down below Saquon, Gibbs, CD Lamb, maybe even Christian McCaffrey, Justin Jefferson for you?
I think it pushes him to right after maybe just Saquon Gibbs, but before Jefferson, CMC.
Chase, Saquon Barkley, Gibbs, and then Bijan?
CD before Bijan. And so CD is actually probably my number two in best ball. But I like to mix up those 4 anyways. I think what could happen is now McGarry is a good run blocker. And so I think that significantly affects Bijan, obviously. But I have, you think about their quarterback does not love to take hits. And so a big thing for him is he gets it out quick. And so if their line is worse, it's maybe we're looking at some more Bijan catches. To make up for that. But I do think that the upside of leading rusher in the league is probably at least hurt a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is time for a new segment. And this segment is called Team Jorts Mom of the Week. Here's how it works, all right? Send in your submissions to me, either by email, Bobby at yourmomsffpod.com, or in a message on X at your mom's FF pod with a picture of your mom, two or three things you love about her. We're going to hype up your mom on the show. Everyone can pour into the comments on X and make her month. Let's keep the comments respectful, even though I know some of you guys have some good looking moms. But the second mom of the week is Belinda Clifton. Jimmy, you got a stellar mustache, mom. Does your mom have a great one too?
She does not. No, she gets it whack. But no, my mom, she's the best. She really pushed us. So both of my parents did not go to college. But my mom, when we were born, was like, hey, you guys are going to get to have every single opportunity that you want for yourselves in your lives. She's like, a lot of people can take a lot of things away from you. They can't take away education. And so she really pushed us to be the people that we are today. And so she's the best. Yeah. I will say, Bobby, you asked me, you said, are you close to your mom, Jimmy, when you texted me? And immediately I thought of this, especially in relation to your podcast. So there was a day in fourth grade, I was on a bus for basketball and I came home just sobbing. And my mom's like, what is going on? And I was like, mom, I was on the bus and the older kids were making fun of you. And she's like, why would these kids be making fun of me? Like, they've never met me. I don't know any of these kids. We were new to the town. She's like, what were they saying about me? I was like, well, mom, they told me that you were so fat that you fell in love and broke it. And I'm just like sobbing. And she's like, she's of course dying. And she's like, Jimmy, those are called yo mama jokes. And those are not actually making fun of me. It's just a joke format. But I'm fourth grade. I love my mom. I didn't get it. And so I do feel like it's very evident that I love my mom. And I think she deserves the Team Jorts Mom of the Week.
I love it. Thanks for sharing that, Jimmy. I'll share something too. I pooped my pants on the bus in fourth grade coming home, which is way too late to poop your pants. But, you know, it happened. So just going to throw that out there so everyone can have a good laugh. It's just the reality of life. Okay. I know all of you guys have pooped your pants at some point too. So it is what it is. I waddled off that bus. I hope nobody knew, but it was probably like dropping all over the floor and everything like that.
Man.
All right, guys. Reminder before we begin the draft, you can get $50 in bonus funds when you play just $5 on Underdog Fantasy. Go to my X account, otherwise known as Twitter, right? At Your Mom's FF Pod, click the Underdog link and enter the promo code. It's right there in the tweet, Team Jorts. If you're in my draft, please do not snipe me on Isaiah Pacheco. He's really important to me. I'll send my mom to wrestle your mom if you do it. So don't be doing that. Let me share the screen and then we're going to dive right on into Best Ball Mania. Now, Jimmy, when I hit the draft button, it's going to happen quick, right? So let's set some ground rules here. We're drafting a team together. We each got two vetoes. If I'm drafting a guy, I know that you like the kids, all the rookies and everything like that. I like the old dusty guys. If you don't like someone I'm drafting, you can just say, no, man, veto. That guy's not going on my team. And I can do the same to you. You might hate me after it. Who are some guys that like you really, really want? And if I hit the veto button, you're going to be pretty bummed.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, if we're talking late guys, I don't think you'll make it with your vetoes this late, but I love Alec Iomanor from the Titans. He's like 32.
Yeah, that's fine with me, man. I'm not going to veto anyone after like round 14. But if you're taking like Breece Hall in round 3, I'm smashing that veto button all day long. There's a couple guys, they're not going to be on my team.
We can talk about him, but I am really curious about why he's fallen to, I think his ADP is 44 now, 44-ish.
Okay, now that I might be comfortable with. That's like late fourth round.
Right. And so if we're getting late fourth Breece, I mean, this is like the year he smashed coming off the ACL, we were getting late fourth Breece. And so that's pretty exciting for me. Now, I will give you one. Don't do it to me, Bobby. If I'm taking Travis Hunter and you veto it, it's going to hurt.
I don't think I have a single share of Travis Hunter. I wouldn't mind getting one. I do think there's quite a bit of upside there, but I'm really not super attached to that offense. I understand a lot of good best ball folks are, though, so I may be off on something. If you want Travis Hunter, he's all yours, baby. Now, we did agree to something, off the podcast, and what we're going to do is we're going to really target one of these best ball strategies. The two that I'm talking about are zero RB. What that means is we're waiting until at least the sixth round for our first running back. We're going to get three running backs by the end of round 13, and we're going to end up with six running backs. That's zero RB. Now, there's going to be a certain situation that could happen depending on where we fall in the first round. If we have pick 7, And the only guys on the board are Christian McCaffrey and those four wide receivers when there's that huge tier break. There's going to be, if the draft falls to us that way, we're going to pivot. And instead of going zero RB, we're going to go robust running back, which means that three of our first four picks are going to be running back. We're going to be very thin on running back, get a crap load of pass catchers, and just let the chips fall where they do every single week. So that's what we're gunning for. You can do either of those strategies. Now, I've been reading up on zero running back because it's been changing a lot. It went from like 5% of people doing that strategy to now over 25% of people are doing zero RB. Do you tend to instinctively go into that, or is it just however the draft falls to you?
I like to say it's however the draft falls to me, but I'm a big old piss boy. I don't know if your listeners wouldn't be familiar with that. I'm a wide receiver heavy boy. And so I end up falling into a lot of zero RB drafts. And so I need to focus. If we're doing robust RB, it's going to hurt everything inside of me, but I can figure it
out. I'm secretly hoping that's what happens now. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, right.
I've got a couple robust RB drafts, and I love those teams, man. Yeah. I really love them because there's a lot of late round wide receivers that I think are going to break out, similar to what we saw last year with Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, right? A lot of these guys that they were lasting until rounds 10 through 12, and they were absolute rocks throughout the season. And I like my ability to be able to go out and get some of those guys. We'll see if it works out this year. I've got a couple in mind, but let's hit the enter button and see how fast this bad boy loads. All right, it is mostly filled. There's four spots left. Watch how quickly this fills. And ideally, Jimmy, what draft pick are you really hoping that we get?
If we're doing zero RB, I mean, give me the 101. Give me a Ja'Marr Chase start.
Yes.
Just highly anchored on the 2-3 turn. We can potentially get a tight end, or we can double tap receiver again, go for one of those elite QBs. I just love the 101 this year.
Jimmy, I am 46 drafts in, and I have had the number one pick exactly zero times. I would love to have the number one pick. It's happened zero times. Once, I had the number two pick, and Ja'Marr Chase dropped to me. So I do have one share, but yeah, it's time, man. And on the podcast, we're waiting for one more person, and it's going to start. Give us number one, baby.
Come on, baby. One time.
What is like the ideal round one, round two combo? If you could hit it, something realistic that could happen, but seems a little outlandish. Like, oh man, if this falls your way, you would be just so pumped.
So Puka has been falling a lot with the Matt Stafford news. And so I love getting Puka on the turn with even like Puka Amon-Ra. I have a couple of times. Where are we? Number two. You got to be kidding me. And Jordan is not moving on from Ja'Marr Chase.
So here's what I'm thinking for number two. I really like the idea of drafting a zero RB build. Let's just go get CeeDee Lamb and be happy.
Let's do it.
How's that sound to you?
Let's do it. I mean, he's my number two already. You don't have to pull my leg.
Okay. All right. So we're starting with CeeDee Lamb. We're in agreement there. Now, it's going to be a while until we get to our pick. There's only 20 seconds on the clock for every single pick, so it is going to move pretty fast. But we're looking at, 22 picks before ours. So we're scrolling on down. We're in the ADP 23 range. We start with CeeDee Lamb, and we are going with a zero RB build, which means we cannot draft one of these awesome running backs, Bucky Irving, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Omarion Hampton. Who are we eyeing right here? Are we going to go Trey McBride? Are we going to get one of the quarterbacks? Maybe reach for Marvin Harrison? Are you a Tyreek Hill stan? I mean, he's got a lot of upside. Who do you want with that second pick?
This Tyreek stuff, I mean, even outside of the injury, I was a little concerned. I just don't know if he has the mindset anymore. And so I've actually been, I will mix in Tyreek, but I'm at more like a 4%. Clip than your typical 8% baseline clip. And so I'm hoping for, honestly, probably Trey McBride there. I don't mind Marv. I probably don't want both of those guys. Actually,
you don't want to go with the full Cardinal stack and then go get Kyler
Murray?
No,
I mean, I'll do it occasionally, but two of your first three picks, you are really hoping that they are the breakout offensive of the century. And so,
right. All right, so we got CeeDee Lamb, and then went Gibbs. Bijan went fourth. Christian McCaffrey over Saquon Barkley. Not sure I've seen that one quite yet. Nico Collins going seven over Justin Jefferson, and the draft is marching along. So here we go. Is there anyone that you think could potentially fall? I mean, I've seen A.J. Brown fall pretty far.
Especially on the news. Yeah, A.J. Brown's there. I'm smashing.
Ladd McConkey, are you hitting the smash button?
Oh, easily. Yeah. If somehow
you taking T. Higgins over Trey McBride, let's start building this queue.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I have really many shares, maybe one or two of T. Higgins, just because it's that range with those running backs that I love.
Right.
I've got a lot of shares of Chase Brown and Bucky Irving. Since we're not doing that today, it's going to be a little bit of a unique build for me. By the way, when we win the $2 million, we're splitting that prize pool. So I'm going to rename this team. If we get to the live final, if we're in the final week, we're going together. I'll come up to Chicago so I can get some deep dish pizza. We're watching the games and then we'll celebrate together. Sound good?
We'll get some Portillo's.
Oh, yeah, of course, man. I think we get Portillo's before the games start, while the games are going, and after. That's how good that Portillo's is.
Man. Oh, yeah. I'm so in. Get to brag about it.
All right, there goes Brock Bowers all the way to pick. Let me see here. Pick 18. Chase Brown coming off the board. There's Achan at pick 19.
Are we at the top of the receivers? Right, or the top of the who's left right now?
Oh, yeah, we sure are. Man, we had a chance at A.J. Brown and Ladd McConkey, and they both got taken before us. So who do you want to go with here? Is it T. Higgins, Trey McBride, one of the quarterbacks?
Yeah, I'm good with T. If you are, I think Trey McBride probably comes back.
Let's do it. And you know, one of the things that I love about T. Higgins that I think a lot of people are really discrediting is this idea of, hey, studs get hurt every once in a while. You can look at T. Higgins and just say, he's going to be what he is. He's the wide receiver two on his team. There's probably about a 15, 20% chance Ja'Marr Chase gets hurt. And if he does, T. Higgins is a top five wide receiver, in my opinion. All right. We're back up. Irving and Taylor went. So that means we've got Lamar Jackson on the board, Marvin Harrison on the board, JSN on the board.
You got 3 seconds left, Bobby.
And
Amari and Hampton's. Yeah, that's
fine. I'm so sorry. Ooh. I was talking way too dang much. The next pick is absolutely yours. Who would you have taken there if I wasn't blabbing my mouth off?
Probably Trey McBride.
Trey McBride. Well, sorry about that, man.
Oh, it's okay. I don't mind Marv. I will say people have debated Marv McBride. They're like, why, you know, you're pushing tight end up too much, isn't that? Trey McBride is probably going to outscore Marv straight up, and so to also get the tight end position, I think, is actually pretty big. So that's why I'm always Trey McBride over Marv, but I'm not mad about it. Don't tell the newspaper I'm mad.
That was really clutch, man, that you called me out on the 3 seconds left, because I thought I had more time than that. The other guy made his pick so dang fast.
So he sent it, yeah.
All right, so there's Lamar Jackson off the board, Amari and Hampton already coming off at pick 30. How are you feeling about him? I know you like the rookies. Are you taking him in the third round? That's just uncomfortable.
I mean, Amari and Hampton over Kyren Williams is wild. Like, Amari and Hampton could be anything. He could even be Kyren Williams. And so the reality is just like, I think you're trying to win a boat when you already had a boat in Kyren Williams. And so I'm just throwing in Kyren over him. I think he's raised way too much as well.
I'm not even buying the player so much as I am just buying the offense, right? I don't care who the starting running back there is. Najee Harris, I don't love him, but if he was the starting running back, I'd be drafting him in the fourth, fifth round, just because that's what the Chargers do. They run the football. They've got, I think, maybe the best offensive line in football, and would not be surprised whatsoever if Hampton, who was definitely not my favorite running back in the draft, he was number four behind Henderson and Judkins, and obviously Genty, but we are coming back up. We're two picks away. It's moving really fast. We've got Jalen Hurts available here. We've got a host of wide receivers. Jamison Williams has been called out on my podcast several times. I love DK Metcalf, but this is your pick. We've got two picks coming up. So who are you taking here?
Let's see. This turn does not have an Eagle. I kind of want to throw, let's do Xavier Worthy.
Xavier Worthy. All right. He's another guy I don't have too many shares of. Talk us through on your logic on Xavier Worthy, why you're going to have a lot.
I think the Rashi. So I think Rice is probably going to be suspended 5 games is what has been insinuated recently by some of the bigger beats. And so I think that just gives Worthy a chance to establish himself as the one. I know Andy Reid is very game plan dependent, trailing off as we consider.
I'm going to go ahead and grab DK Metcalf unless you're going to veto me.
Oh, man, I want to.
You want to? All right, let's go Jameson Williams. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, let's do JMO. Let's do JMO.
All right, I think we got him on. Oh, no, because I DK Metcalf queued. Too bad. You snooze, you lose. I'm so sorry, man.
No. I get it.
We started with 5 wide receivers, and I know that there are people listening to this or watching me on YouTube. In YouTube, just put in the search bar, your mom's fantasy football. And it's going to come right on up for you. You can watch it. You can see what it is that we're looking at, the draft board, everything along those lines. You started with 5 wide receivers. And to some of you, are like, wait a second. You start 3 a week. You have 1 flex. What in the world are you doing? Well, the wide receiver position is especially volatile. And so we're going to have some weeks where Marvin Harrison puts up 30 yards for 3 catches and Xavier Worthy goes blank. There's going to be some injuries throughout the season, but the wide receiver position puts up huge scores. Several of these guys are going to get double-digit touchdowns, right? And now we can take it really easy on the wide receiver button and focus on 1, maybe 2 or 3 running backs in the next couple of rounds. We don't have a quarterback yet. There's a lot of value there later on. And then we don't have one of the tight ends, but there's a lot of the tight ends coming up. People have been reaching for tight ends, so we really haven't really had the chance besides me missing on Trey McBride. We are coming back up here in about 7 or 8 picks, and I don't want to go with a 6th wide receiver. Grab our first running back here. That's what the 0 running back build is. I'm not sure if Hubbard or Kamara or James Conner is going to drop. I like DeAndre Swift in Ben Johnson's offense. I love Isaiah Pacheco. Which of these 5 top running backs on the board would be your favorite if they all land to us?
Yeah, I mean, if any of the top 3 make it to us, I'm wheeling in the pick, you know.
It would be pretty hard to pass when somebody's dropping 15 spots beyond ADP, right?
Right, yeah, yeah. I'm sending you home. There goes Hubbard. Between Pacheco and Swift, I kind of like a team stack with Pacheco and Worthy. I know a lot of people will say, like, particularly in redraft, you're like, oh, you don't want to take a running back and receiver on the same team. They're sort of anti-correlated. But I think in best ball, you're looking at team correlations. And when the team smashes, they smash together. And so I think it's so easy. You can be like, ah, Kansas City's kind of expensive, but this is not the expensive Kansas City that we have come to know and love. And so it is very easy for me to be like, oh, yeah, Kansas City is just way undervalued this year. They end up smashing. So I like the team correlation there.
Yeah, I'm in 100% agreement, because what happens when they get out to a lead early by passing the ball, Xavier Worthy gets the end zone once or twice, they're going to start running the ball in those game scripts, right? He's going to be piling up the points. We have a chance to maybe get both of them, which would be sweet. Yeah. But I would like to start with Isaiah Pacheco. He's my number 1 most owned running back. Posted a tweet that he's played exactly 13 games, over 50% of the snaps with the Chiefs. And if you prorate that to a 17 game pace, I mean, this is a guy who they were easing back from injury, everything along those lines. He would have been the RB6 last year with the fantasy points that he put up. He was being drafted as RB26. We got him, our man, Isaiah Pacheco. Now, coming back on the flip around, let's say DeAndre Swift is taken. Do you want Tony Pollard? Do you want David Montgomery? Sam LaPorta, we could go get ourselves a tight end. Are you a believer in Caleb Johnson? I love him, but I don't know about Arthur Smith, man.
I know.
Go Patrick Mahomes and just go full Kansas City Chiefs stack.
I don't hate that. He's not going to come back to us.
So Swift is gone.
Yep. So I'm Pollard or Mahomes.
Let's go Mahomes, baby. I don't have any like stacks this heavy on the Chiefs. I do have some Mahomes, but not paired with 2 guys ahead of him. I've been back stacking Mahomes because it's kind of hard to be certain you're going to get that quarterback. If you do, I know that he likes to spread the ball around, and I don't have a ton of shares of Xavier Worthy because of that, but we're starting Chiefs heavy, man. Look at those wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Marvin Harrison, Xavier Worthy, DK Metcalf. There's 4 touchdowns a week out of those guys, and then we got Isaiah Pacheco. and Patrick Mahomes. All right, we've got about 20 picks left. Who are the tight ends that you have a lot of shares on? Who are you overweight on? And overweight, by the way, what that means is a league size, 12 players. So on average, you'll have 8% of a player. If you have more than that, you're overweight. Jimmy, who are you overweight on at the tight end position?
I'm overweight all three of the elite guys. So we're talking Bowers, McBride, and Kittle. Kittle less so, just because I happen to have already picked Bowers and McBride before we get to Kittle, so it's hard to get him. And then I think Mark Andrews got in a car accident and had surgery right before the season last year. I think Mark Andrews comes back with a vengeance. Big fan of his. And then
he's on a contract year as well.
Yes. Like, he's playing for his money. He dropped a pass in a playoff game. You don't think he's coming out motivated?
Right. There goes Sam Laporta. Montgomery coming off the board. Lots of Lions early on, as always. How do you feel about getting Travis Kelce, if he's there, maybe even pairing him with Mark Andrews and just sticking with two tight ends and loading up on the pass-catching wide receivers?
I don't hate it at all. I think
is that too many Chiefs, or is that something you're comfortable with?
That's something I'm comfortable with. I mean, four through eight is pretty intense, but we might be able to grab even a running.
It's going to be close. I think if Travis Kelce's there, we take him.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. Yeah.
After that, I mean, we're not taking a wide receiver. There's a few guys in this territory, Josh Downs, Michael Pittman, Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp. They'll be coming off the board behind us. And I don't like drafting wide receivers in this range. I think all of them have a lot of question marks, right? So I'm perfectly fine going quarterback, running back, tight end here. We already got Patrick Mahomes, so I think it's too early to take another quarterback. Any of the running backs in this range that you love beyond the tight ends who are available?
No, not enough to take him over Kelce. I would say in a zero RB build, I do love Dobbins is actually a pretty good bet in a zero RB build because the guys are going to be tacking on at the end. So are probably all backups. And so I love that early production that we get from J.K. Dobbins to pair with maybe Bashaul Tuten, who comes on late season, or a D.J. Giddens if Jonathan Taylor
goes down. I've got a lot of Giddens, and I don't see him drafted very often. Speaking of the Colts, by the way, oh my goodness, Tyler Warren went ahead of Hawkinson. Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews. I've seen people reach for him in the drafts, and I've seen people, I've seen drafts where Tyler Warren falls really far. Where do you stand on him?
I think he's going to be good. I think he's probably valued pretty correctly, though. I would not take him above Hawkinson, Kelce, Andrews, but then right after that, I'm totally fine mixing in him, Ingram, and Colson Loveland, to be honest.
It is coming back to us. Mark Andrews is still on the board. So is TJ Hawkinson. Do you want to go get Dobbins or do you want to get Mark Andrews and just be done with tight end?
Oh, man. It's going to be. Let's do Dobbins.
We're doing Dobbins. All right. Who are some of the late end tight ends that you'd love to pair with Travis Kelce? And with Travis Kelce, are you going two tight ends or are you going three tight ends?
I think it depends. Like if I take Mark Andrews, I'm for sure done. Honestly, anything after that, probably taking three, because I don't mind doing, especially we're looking at like six or seven wide receivers. I prefer seven usually, but even on a five straight receiver build, you can almost get away with six. And so you're going to have a couple of positions to play with. And so I usually like to take three if our second is like a, 14th, 15th round pick. I don't mind throwing on a Jatavion Sanders on the back end.
Right. Yeah, completely agree. So let's see here. We've got all the guys in the Jags backfield coming on up. Joe Mixon and Brian Robinson probably won't make it to us, although Brian Robinson's been falling. Not sure where he's going to end up. Looks like there's some momentum that he's going to get traded. I don't have much of Judkins, but they're not charging him. So, are you drafting him even though he hasn't signed yet?
He still hasn't signed. And I just think that this is such valuable time to get.
Especially acquainted. As a rookie, right?
Right. Yeah, if he's a veteran, I probably don't care as much. But I think he's probably in the 140s for me.
All right. So all these running backs on the board, Joe Mixon is falling. If he makes it to us, would you pull the trigger or are you out on him?
In the 120, yeah, 119, I'll pull the trigger on Joe Mixon. I think it's at least, I mean, what he's probably missing a few weeks. Same argument then you're going back to as guys who are missing early time.
He's such a mystery, man. I mean, he could be missing 1 week. He could be missing 8 weeks. I have no idea what is going on with Joe Mixon. So, but at this stage, I mean, we've got a chance at a low-end RB1 at pick 119. Uh-oh, I'm really hoping that he falls at this point.
I know. I've talked myself into it, too. Oh, Braylon Allen.
Oh, just a few more picks. I love Braylon Allen, but that's a little steep for me when you've got some starting running backs on the board. Okay, these guys have three running backs ahead of us and four running backs ahead of us. I think that he does drop. If somebody reaches for him, I'm going to be pretty bummed. And by reaches for him, I mean takes him 20 picks later than his ADP. Marvin Mims, he was so good at the end of the season, but that's pretty dang high for him.
Yeah, that's a wild room.
And Keenan Allen goes off the board. Joe Mixon it is. Is that cool with you?
Yeah. Oh, send that in.
Oh, sweet. Look at that. We got Pacheco, Dobbins, Mixon. I don't know how long Dobbins is going to start or if he even starts at the start of the season. But, you know, you can even look at him as a very high-end backup running back in Sean Payton's system. He knows Sean Payton's system. He's comfortable in it. And they've got a great offensive line. Judkins comes off the board. Let's go ahead and make our next pick. I've got Javonte Williams and Tootin here. Are you fine with one of those? Or do you want to go Brian Robinson and see where he lands?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ooh, that was close. I barely got it in. I don't really have many shares of Brian Robinson. I think one or two, but this is a guy who could put up double-digit touchdowns. I don't know if he lands in Dallas. I don't know if he lands in Chicago. I don't know if he backs up Christian McCaffrey, and if McCaffrey gets hurt, he goes wild. But I do think that there's a little bit of upside there, and because we're going to be drafting so many running backs in this zero RB build, I think that we take some shots and see if we can get a guy who can end up as RB15 and way exceed his value.
Bobby, I've done 196 drafts. How many shares of Brian Robinson do you think I have?
Oh, that's probably your first one. That's my guess.
That's my first one.
That's your first one. I was a little uncomfortable with it, but I also think it's fun because this is a guy who was being drafted not so long ago around pick 80, and we got him 40 picks later than that just because of the uncertainty. I'm all about buying uncertainty in best ball because you know what? If a player in pick 11, I think that's what we're in, round 11, craps out, so what? You got 18 guys on your roster. There's going to be guys that crap out. I'm taking a chance that there's a guy that I can get for 40 picks later than what he was valued at the end of the at the beginning of the season, and I don't mind it whatsoever. Now, we've already got four running backs. That's a little bit outside of the zero RB build. It's kind of within it, but I think at this point, maybe we turn our attention to another quarterback, another tight end, or perhaps even our wide receiver six. We'll open that back up. We've got about five or six picks left. Here's what's on the board. Who are you eyeing?
What are we looking at a quarterback?
For quarterback, we're down. Oh man, there's been a lot of quarterbacks already taken. Yeah. So Penix, Bryce Young, Tua.
What do you think about a Penix Pitts pairing here on our turn?
That is fascinating to me. So you're one of the guys who's in on Pitts. You're willing to
draft. I wouldn't say I'm in on Pitts. I would say I'm being willing to reconsider my position. I was out on Pitts to begin the year.
I'm a little overweight, and I feel uncomfortable saying that in front of everyone because I know there's some folks who are like, you idiot, like 4 years in a row, 5 years in a row, you're drafting Pitts. Yeah, I am, guys. I think there's a lot of upside. I mean, who else are they going to pass to in that offense? They got Drake London. Mooney's a little bit shaken up. They're going to be throwing the ball because they've got Zach Robinson running the offense. They're going to be playing from behind because their defense is really not that great. I'm fine taking Pitts here. We're one pick away. Or do you take Penix? Oh, no, we were sniped. Do you go Tootin with him falling this far?
Yeah, I go Tootin.
Let's just go Tootin, and then we'll think about who we're drafting right afterwards.
Right. So if we take Penix, we're looking at the Ray McCloud receiver to pair with him. I don't love that.
I'm a fan of Brenton Strange, and I believe that Lawrence is Lawrence was taken. Never mind. We could go Cam Ward and Chig. I don't have any Cam Ward shares.
Cam Ward is easy to back sack. Cam Ward and Bryce Young are easy to back sack, so I'm fine with either of those guys.
Okay.
You got 3 seconds, though.
Oh, no. Well, I guess we got Penix.
Penix it is.
Man, that guy between our picks picks so fast. I'm just sitting here talking, and I'm like, okay, who are we going to pick? And I wasn't even looking at the board. That's twice now. Jimmy, you have full permission to just yell at me and be like, hey, idiot, yeah, there's 5 seconds left. Okay, so we got Penix. We could backstack him a little bit, not with a tight end, but man, there's a lot of upside in that arm.
There is.
Now, with Mahomes and Penix, are you comfortable just being done with quarterback?
I'm at least, I would consider it. I kind of think, so we have five, even though we went zero RB, like I'm not necessarily opposed to five running backs here. I know it's a little uncomfortable, but I'd probably prefer three quarterbacks to three tight ends, though, if we're making that decision. How are you feeling
now?
The
quarterback you're going for, are you going for a high upside play? Like, hey, maybe Anthony Richardson gets back in the game week four, week five, and then they just run him to death. Or are you looking at someone a little bit more stable, like a Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers?
Especially because we have DK, I'd look Rodgers. I also just think, like, if you're planning on starting Anthony Richardson at any point this year, why are you starting with Daniel Jones?
So I saw a Jake Seeley post, and I think this makes a lot of sense. I didn't think anything about this whatsoever until I saw All In Kid on Twitter sharing this idea. He says, if you are the Colts front office, and you start Anthony Richardson, and he's awful, in week two or three, everyone's clamoring for Daniel Jones to come on in. Now, if you start Daniel Jones, and he's awful, now everyone's saying, hey, give us Anthony Richardson. And then they've got permission to try him for the next 10 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And we're bad anyways. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're bad anyway. So they just let Anthony Richardson do his thing. Maybe he racks up 800 rushing yards in 13 weeks of starting. And hey, we're cooking because we got him at the end of the draft.
Right, right. What are we looking at quarterback now, Bobby?
Yeah, let me see here. At quarterback, we got Geno Smith, Matthew Stafford, Sam Darnold. There's Aaron Rodgers as well.
I think we can do Rodgers at the next turn.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he's the only one.
I don't mind taking a sixth wide receiver here.
I don't either.
If Najee Harris is somehow on the board, he's someone I'm interested in. We got Hunter Henry. Yep. We got Chig. I'd like to get another tight end here pretty dang soon. Isaiah Likely, Jonnu Smith, who I'm a big fan of.
We could do, I like Najee Janu here, and then we take.
Sounds perfect to me. I think we're done at running back, having six. Yeah. Yeah. Now, that happened pretty dang fast. If Janu is taken, which I don't think that he will be, who do you want to go with just so I'm not caught with my pants down again?
Yeah, let's do Janu just because then that's a double stack on Rodgers.
Janu's my guy. That's my number one known tight end. Yeah. So I'm very happy with this team having Isaiah Pacheco, DK Metcalf, and Jonnu Smith. Obviously, I have a lot of Aaron Rodgers stats if those are my guys, right? Let's see here. I'm going to go ahead and cue him up now.
Yeah.
Besides that, I wouldn't mind getting a third tight end, and we'll look at what we have for wide receiver as well because we still just have five.
Yeah. We do have to consider if we do a third tight end at this point, it would be a 3-6-6-3, which is kind of unique. Is that right? Because we have...
It would be. And I'm fine with Travis Kelce and Jonnu Smith because I've got Jonnu Smith in my top 12 tight ends. And if you can get two of the top 12 tight ends, you're sitting pretty.
Let's draft like we're right.
Okay, let's draft like we're right. We'll just roll with it. And so all we need now, let's see here. We got two tight ends. We are going to get Aaron Rodgers, and we need two more wide receivers. So let's start queuing up some of the late round wide receivers that you loved. Mm-hmm. If any of these guys fall, Adam Thielen, Quentin Johnson, we know McMillan is hurt, so do not be drafting him. Diami Brown in that new Liam Coen offense. There's your guy, the starting wide receiver, Ayo Manor for Tennessee. Now, there's a couple guys I love to get. Roman Wilson is starting with Aaron Rodgers right now. I don't know if they're going to sign Amari Cooper, Gabe Davis, but right now, Roman Wilson is starting with Aaron Rodgers. I have a lot of shares of Deontay Johnson, who is starting with Cleveland, and we know that Joe Flacco has been putting up a ton of passing touchdowns and yards as a gunslinger the last couple of years. I think we go get our guy Aaron Rodgers first, and then pick you pick any of the wide receivers left that you like.
Okay. Yeah, I like that idea. Okay, you need to sell me, though. I've seen a couple times you've posted Amari Cooper teams. You got to sell me.
Yeah, what it comes down to with for Amari Cooper, and do not let the clock run out while I'm talking.
I
can't multitask because I'm a dude, but, you know, Amari Cooper, it has not been long since he posted 1,250 yards. Is he old? Yes. Did he struggle last year? Moving to a new offense where they already had their established weapons? Yes. Was he dealing with an injury? Not exactly sure what was going on there, but I think for free at the very end of the draft, there's a chance that Amari Cooper puts up 600, 800, maybe even 1,000 yards, depending on where he lands. This is a very good wide receiver. He could be dust, but for free, I'm taking a chance. We got our guy Aaron Rodgers.
The receiver tab again.
Yeah, let's go on back to that. A.O. Minor was taken, man. I'm so sorry about that.
I know. I also don't mind throwing Michael Wilson on the team. He's pretty guaranteed for 100 points.
Yep. I got a Michael Wilson last night.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? I'm not opposed to reaching for one of your dudes.
Most of my dudes are gone at this point.
All right, cool. Let's just go grab Michael Wilson. We'll move on to
Michael
last
Wilson,
round.
And then we can grab one of the, yeah.
Okay.
How do you feel about Nuke? About DeAndre Hopkins.
I would have smashed it right there.
Yeah. Should have thought about that.
It's all good. Yeah, there's definitely not any upside with Michael Wilson. I mean, like, even if Marvin Harrison gets hurt, what's Michael Wilson doing? 800 yards? Four touchdowns?
No, you're 100% right. I think we go for the, there goes Nuke, but I think we go for the upside there probably, especially with our established receivers.
Yeah. What I'm saying, though, with Michael Wilson is, I don't need a league winner in round 17. We've only got six wide receivers. I need a guy that I think is going to put up four receptions, 60 yards when these guys are all on bye in week 10. We got CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, and Xavier Worthy all on bye week 10.
Yeah. And even I think it's Mike Leone has done some research on zeros in week 17. And outside of injury, I just don't see Michael Wilson being a zero in week 17.
Right. Yep, I would agree with that. Let's go through our team, our roster, while we're finishing up this last round. Patrick Mahomes, Michael Penix, Aaron Rodgers. It's a really nice quarterback crew. At running back, even waiting as long as we did, we got a surefire running back and a great offense, Isaiah Pacheco. We've got J.K. Dobbins, who's in a great running offense. He might be starting at the beginning of the season. Joe Mixon is the opposite. Great offense. Should be starting within a couple of weeks. He's old, right? He might be dust. He's dealing with an injury, but he's got a lot of upside in that offense. Brian Robinson, we'll see where he lands. Tootin in that high-powered Liam Cohen scheme. And then Najee Harris, another great running offense. We're betting on the systems. Our wide receiver core, Jimmy, I don't know if anyone could beat this. CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, Marvin Harrison, Xavier Worthy, DK Metcalf is our number five, and Michael Wilson, and we're going to be grabbing one more guy here in just a moment. And then at tight end, we're rolling with Travis Kelce and Jonnu Smith. Who are we taking here in the last round? It's all up to you. We can go with my guy, Deontay Johnson, or you can go with anyone you see on the board that you like.
One question. Do we throw an Atlanta guy on just as a sort of week 17?
Ray McLeod is starting, baby.
That's what I'm leaning towards, just because we don't have any stacking.
The last time that I did a live mock, I took my first share of Ray McLeod, and I'm cool with that happening again right here.
Yeah, I think we do it. In our current context of best ball, stacking is obviously really important. I'm okay if I have.
We just got sniped on Ray, man.
Who knew that getting sniped on Ray McLeod would ruin my day?
Right. Oh, what a bad way to end the show. I'm just going to take my guy, Deontay Johnson. Yeah. You know, you can thank me later when he has 80 receptions with Joe Flacco. It's going to happen, man. He's starting. He's hungry to prove himself. He's not that old, and he is tearing it up right now in camp.
I'm into it. I'm with it.
All right. Well, Jimmy, that is all for today's show. I'm going to pull up the draft board here real quick, and you guys can take a good look at it on our YouTube channel. Just look up Your Mom's Fantasy Football on YouTube. Again, I'm at Your Mom's FF Pod. Jimmy, you can find him on Twitter at JimmyClifton3. And make sure to hit the subscribe and leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Jimmy, it's been a pleasure.
Same, Bobby. I appreciate you having me on. I'm glad you're back in the streets.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun. I'll see you in week 17 when we're celebrating our win.
Yes, sir. Excited to be together and eating some Portillo's then.
All right. Sounds great. Okay, guys, don't forget to use the link to play for $5 and get $50 in bonus funds. Find it on my X account at Your Mom's FF Pod and use that promo code Team Shorts. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football.